Now as Ever, Chapter 11. Styles has never done anything like this before. He's driven through walls to save his friends, been tortured and beaten to protect them. He's even suffered some permanent physical reminders of the company he keeps. But Styles has never actually tried to kill anyone before. His stomach twists at the thought, but he just keeps reminding himself that Kate isn't just any other normal, innocent person. He slips into the back alley behind Bean Me Up just before sunrise. He knows she works early shifts. There's only one car parked out back, a little blue Honda that Styles recognizes as Kate's from the day he saw her at the library. Styles glances around to make sure he's alone before slipping out of the shadows. She's taking the Pacific Coast Highway down to the Bay Area this weekend, he knows, and from what it sounded like, she's going alone. It takes him a few long minutes to psych himself up for it, but with the help of all the research he's done online at the library, he finally slides under her car and locates the brake line. Styles uses the tools he borrowed from Deaton's clinic to cut the main and gouge a hole in the pressure line. He files the edges of each perforation to make it look like a more natural wear. He knows it won't hold up under close inspection, but he really hopes it doesn't have the chance to come to that anyway. God, he hopes this works. He doesn't want to think about the possibility of her running into someone else, other innocent people on the road. It's one of the many reasons he'd been told not to fuck with anything here in this life. So many things can change. He's gambling, and the stakes are fucking terrifying. But Styles has to focus on one thing at a time, and keeping Kate from fulfilling her own twisted destiny is first and foremost. The treehouse is nearly complete now, thanks to Styles' persistent kidnappings of Derek after school, and the prospect of having somewhere private to go and make out once it's finished. There's a roof over half of it, enough to block the rain when it comes, but still leaving some of it open for stargazing on clear nights like this one. Styles and Derek take full advantage of the opportunity to touch, being completely alone and uninterrupted. Styles straddles Derek's hips, leans forward and scrapes his teeth over Derek's nipple, chases the sensation with the tip of his tongue, and earns himself a quiet growl. He's sure he could get used to this, taking Derek apart with his hands and mouth and tongue, dragging sounds from him only ever heard on a threatening level before. Derek thrusts up, pulls Styles down against him with firm hands wrapped around his hips. He grinds them against each other, getting off on the friction provided by the layers of clothing between them. And God, does Styles love the thought of that. He loves seeing Derek this way, so open and vulnerable, allowing himself to take pleasure in Styles, in them. He tries to suck bruises into Derek's skin, a pattern of constellations on his chest and stomach to mirror the ones overhead. But they fade too quickly to even see them as one whole picture. Styles thinks there must be something oddly poetic in that. Something about stars burning out in the sky millions of years before the light of them is even visible here on Earth. Something that reflects the flicker that he is here in Derek's life. But Styles would rather not think too deeply on that right now. He doesn't want to miss Derek when Derek is lying right here beneath him. Doesn't want to get lost in thoughts of being without him, even if he does manage to stay within arm's reach, now and in the future. Styles can't stop touching, and he doesn't even want to try. Derek's skin is so warm beneath him, and Styles is always so cold lately. Logically, he knows it's because of the small traces of winter still lingering in the air, being chased away by spring. But the tiniest part of Styles' imagination, the small space that still worries constantly about anything and everything, tries to convince him the chill is because he's fading away. Moving on from this place to somewhere else. Some other time or space of existence that will just be as confusing as this one. And Styles won't have this anymore. He won't have Derek. So he allows himself all that he can have as often as possible. whisper soft kisses pressed into Derek's skin, and silent apologies he knows Derek would never accept if spoken aloud. Styles doesn't want to sleep anymore. He's too afraid of the darkness that creeps along the edge of his thoughts, worried that it will make its way into his dreams again when he can't stamp them out. Sometimes it does. Tendrils of dread that seep into his mind, wrapping around him and paralyzing him with fear. He sees his dad there, lifeless and bleeding, shot by some random criminal while on the job. He sees Scott, chest ripped open as his life bleeds out in thick, dark pulses. He sees Melissa in an overturned car, pool of broken glass reflecting the vacant look of death in her eyes as they stare out of the wreckage. He sees Isaac chained to a thick pipe, electrified restraints to keep him there as he's run through with 100 blades forged in a fire of mountain ash and wolfsbane. And Derek. He sees Derek. His Derek, burned and broken and dead in the basement of his own home, his fingertips shredded with evidence of his attempt to tear through the walls. All violent, all horrifying. And then Styles sees his own trembling hands covered in blood as he reaches out for them. Before he's even made contact, he knows. He knows it's his fault. The blood on his hands is symbolic, meant to remind Styles of all that could go wrong, of all that he has to lose if he makes one wrong move here in this borrowed space of time. Styles wakes with tears streaming down his face, eyes blurry and head spinning. He lies awake at night, watching the rise and fall of Derek's chest with every reassuring breath he takes. It's while he's awake that Styles sees his own death, in those dark moments alone in Derek's room while the world sleeps. Flashes of bright white lights, crying faces of his loved ones, some sort of gray violet haze that he thinks must be the color of agony. "If you could find it in you for once in your life to hold still, I could help you," Derek snapped, his grip on Styles' wrist firm, almost painful, but paling in comparison to the bleeding wound on Styles' thigh. "You just want to get a look at my junk," Styles said, unrelenting in his struggle to pull away. He was sure if the smell of blood and fear and wolfsbane wasn't enough to drown it out, Derek would have been able to smell Styles' arousal. Sometimes being a horny teenage boy really fucking sucked. Being grazed in the leg by a hunter's arrow should have been enough of a distraction for him. But as soon as it was all over and Derek had swooped him up to carry him away from the mess of blood and gore, all Styles could think about was how Derek felt against him, holding him so close like Styles was something valuable. Styles couldn't help the fact that it turned him on a little, being that close. "Styles, I have absolutely no desire to see your junk," Derek said through clenched teeth. "Now take off your pants or I'm going to use my claws." "Jesus, Derek, is that how you talk to your prom date?" Derek rolled his eyes and flicked out a claw. Styles tried to kick him away, but the pain in his leg was too much, and his effort turned into more of a pathetic flinch instead. Derek hooked his claw into the rip of Styles' favorite jeans and tore them all the way down to his ankle. "Happy?" he asked, ripping them up higher on Styles' thigh so that they could both see the bleeding wound more completely. "Now your precious junk is in no danger from my leering eyes." "You ripped my pants off me. Do I look happy? I mean, yeah, they were already torn, but I think I could have used that to my advantage. Add a few more and go for the don't give a shit 90s grunge look." Derek ignored his rambling, pressed his hand over the bleeding gash on Styles' thigh. "The only time anyone should be getting their clothes ripped off is if they're about to be consensually sexed up. And I swear to God, Derek, if that's your sex face, you have a lot more issues than I've given you credit for." "Shut up." Derek's eyes were squeezed shut, jaw clenched tightly, and Styles didn't even have time to process it all before he felt the pain ebbing away. Black lines trailing and pulsing up Derek's forearm as he leached it out of Styles. Derek clenched and unclenched his fist after pulling his hand away, as if he could work the transferred pain out the same way you worked out stiff joints. Derek left the room and returned with a washcloth. "It's clean," he said, as if Styles would have assumed otherwise. Derek might have lived in the loft of an abandoned warehouse, and yeah, he was in desperate need of a trip to Pottery Barn for furnishings, but that didn't mean he was dirty. Derek pressed the warm cloth to Styles' leg, dabbing away the blood to better see the actual laceration. His face was so close, Styles could feel warm breath on his wet skin. Scott will be here soon with Melissa. This needs stitches. That, at least, got Styles' mind off Derek's hands on him. What? He said, voice a little bit too high. No, it's fine. It's great. I like it. Let's just leave it like this. He didn't want a needle anywhere near him. Styles had seen too many of those in the hospital with his mom. Too much poking and blood and just no. It can't stay like this, Styles. It needs to be stitched properly in order to heal. I'll superglue it, he said, not even a little bit kidding. Derek rolled his eyes again. I'll stay right here and keep you from feeling it. You can stare at the ceiling and completely ignore her. It'll be over before you know it. You'd do that for me? Styles asked. He knew what it took from his werewolf friends when they sapped pain away from someone else. He knew they brought that same pain onto themselves. Derek just looked at him like Styles was an idiot for thinking otherwise.